Hey everybody, welcome to the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 96. I am your host, Anthony, and tonight I have with me Ryan.
Hello, hello.
And as always, we will start off with our year in gaming, 96. So, any guesses? Well, you lived it. You should know.
This is the year of the N64?
Absolutely, it's the year of the N64. Also the year of the Tamagotchi virtual pet. And the Sega Model 3 and arcade system board. We also had that year the Game Boy Pocket joined the market.
I just know it as the year of the Super Mario 64.
Yeah, I guess you could say. Also, Diablo launched that year.
Did it really?
Yes, it did. There was some other... I'm just going to look for basically the most notable games through here. So Tomb Raider launched that year. Donkey Kong Country 3 launched that year. That had to be one of the last Super Nintendo games.
It was one of the, if not the last.
Yeah, that was... Well, no, there was another one later that year, Terranigma. I don't know what that is.
Not sure.
But, yeah, so... Oh, okay, it's the sequel to a spiritual successor to Illusion of Gaia. I would actually like to play that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I enjoyed Illusion of Gaia, so that would be nice to play that. I didn't even know they made a spiritual successor to it, to be honest with you. You had Killer Instinct Gold that year. The first Tomb Raider game launched that year. Command & Conquer Red Alert. Mario 64, of course. Pilot Wings 64.
Oh, yeah.
Revelations Persona launched that year.
Persona launched that year?
No, it was a spinoff.
Okay. But still.
Oh, no. It was the first game of the Persona series, which was a spinoff of the Megami Tensei series. So, yes, that was the first Persona game was that year. The first Metal Slug game launched that year.
Well, speaking of Metal Slug, just launched today.
On the virtual Switch. Console, yes.
Yeah. No, not the virtual console. Sort of.
It's the Neo Geo virtual console. The first Time Crisis game also launched that year, as well as the first Resident Evil game. What a crazy year in gaming.
Yeah.
Faux show. So, let's go over the news over the last week. So, since we last talked here on the podcast, let's first of all start with, did you purchase anything? Did you get any games? For any system, not just Nintendo.
Well, I ended up purchasing Has-Been Heroes for the Switch. I ended up purchasing Snake Pass. And I actually found at the store called Five and Below, they had Battleborn for $5.
And that was both, PS4 and Xbox One?
Both, yes.
Nice. So I got Snake Pass, and since I have the EA Access Pass, I also downloaded NHL 17, which I'm super stoked to get in there and play, and they also had Zuma's Revenge today added to the vault, so I was able to download that as well.
Yeah, Zuma's always fun.
Yeah, Zuma's a fun game. But yeah, that was mine. We'll talk a little bit later about the indie games that launched on the Nintendo console, and we'll give you our thoughts on it, but we're going to go over the news for the past week. So Nintendo announced that Super Mario Run didn't meet their expectations, their sales expectations, which I kind of expected. I didn't think it was going to sell that well being on the mobile platform, and being that mobile games are normally, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of like pay-as-you-go.
Well, I'm kind of wondering what their expectations really were.
I think they were thinking that it was going to, at $10, it was going to sell like a Nintendo game would sell with a user base that, you know, iPhones and Androids have.
I guess that's a different market. For some reason, people on cell phones just love to do microtransactions. Like, they don't want to pay the $10 for the full game. They'd rather pay $20 over time to get the same game, as long as it's done in small doses for some reason.
Yeah, they like to pay for time, which I don't get. Right. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there. That's a whole podcast discussion in itself. I personally am with you on that. I don't get it. I would rather pay $10 and never have to pay another dime into the game and get a full game than, you know, 2 months down the line, if I want to save 4 hours of my time, I have to drop like $5 to get gems. I'm good. Like, to me, yeah. Like, that's stupid. It makes no sense.
To me, it doesn't either, but I'm not a big phone gamer, to be honest with you. So,
So another bit of news that's not really a shock. GameStop executive said that the Breath of the Wild has about a 1-to-1 attach ratio on the Switch, which, I mean, I that's not really a shock to me.
No, I mean, really, that's, I mean, if you're buying a Switch, you're buying it for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you might get Snipper Clips, you might get Bomberman, but those are secondary. You're going to get Breath of the Wild first and foremost.
I would think so. I mean, unless you're a huge 1-2 Switch fan or something.
Or a huge Bomberman fan. I don't know. I just, like, again, I don't really see anything. I mean, when Mario Kart drops, you're going to see that rate go down because people will buy the system just for Mario Kart because it's Mario Kart.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm double dipping. I mean, I had it on Wii U, but I'm definitely buying it for the Switch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get it on Switch, too, because the battle mode sells me alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nintendo did say they're shipping out more Wii consoles this week. I already seen some today. I got a couple alerts that Amazon...
More Switch consoles?
Yeah. What did I say?
I think you said Wii consoles.
Oh, my bad. I meant Switch consoles. But I did see some pop up on Amazon today. So, they were for Prime members. But, I would definitely keep an eye out for them as it goes through the weekend and stuff. Because they're definitely becoming more available. And
now, were they bundled?
No, the Amazon ones were not bundled. They did have ones from Walmart earlier that were online for, they lasted like 5 minutes. Those were, they were called family bundles. I think 1-2 Switch came with it, and I'm not sure if anything else did. But, the ones from Amazon were the $2.99 ones, so you can get, you could just get the base core package.
Cool.
Let's see, what other news was there?
I know Reggie said that E3 is going to be pretty big.
Yes, they did announce that they were going to have a huge E3 showing, but I mean, that's, you know.
I was going to say, what is this supposed to say? E3 is going to be very mediocre.
Yeah, speaking of Reggie, it was his 56th birthday over the past week. So, very nice. Over the weekend. Yeah. So he.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Reg.
Happy birthday to Reggie.
The Reginator.
Yep. His body is ready. I hope they have. I would like to see Nintendo go back to a press conference. I mean, I know they get a lot of directs. I mean, the one direct a few years ago was awesome. The last direct, I didn't feel so much about it, at the E3.
Yeah, I agree.
I would like to see them go back to press conference just because I liked watching their press conferences, but that's just me.
Yeah, you know what, though? I enjoy their directs better because they're faster and more to the point. Nintendo's very awkward on stage.
Well, I like the directs they do throughout the year. I like it when they do that to give all the information. But I just feel E3 is just a bigger, stage, Because they've done good E3 press conferences before. I mean, they've had bad ones, too. I mean,
I would say their bad outweighs their good, though, when it comes to press conferences. And unfortunately, I think that they don't give Nintendo of America enough leeway to present their presentations. Like, they always have to have Nintendo of Japan, at the E3 shows, which I don't mind. I don't mind, if they had, one or two segments with some of the people from Nintendo of Japan. But, they have some really good personalities and some really good people over at the Treehouse that could handle the press conference, fine.
Absolutely.
And that would translate better to an American audience.
I feel that Nintendo of Japan doesn't give America enough leeway in pretty much anything.
I
just feel that way.
I think it's definitely, prevalent in the decisions they make, especially with online decisions and stuff like that.
Right.
Because if you look at what the, what we do over how we play games in the West here in America, we're more of an online presence. And, look at the Xbox. The Xbox is a perfect example of how to do online and how to do online right. And, Nintendo, the framework's there. You know what I'm saying? They could look at them. I know they don't like to copy people, but, I mean, Xbox Live works.
Well, sometimes it's okay to copy people. I mean, you can put your own spin on it, But, like you said, if it's already there, if it isn't broke, don't fix it,
So how do you feel about TT Games removing single Joy-Con controls from LEGO City?
I can understand why. When they said the reason was the camera controls, I can definitely understand that.
Camera
controls. I don't know how you would do the camera Yeah, well, what, what they said was...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They need a second stick to move the camera around. And using a single Joy-Con, you couldn't... I mean, I guess you could use, like, the Z... The two little bumpers up top, but I don't know how that would really work out too well.
I gotcha. Yep. So, they need a little nub, like a little C-stick nub.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, that makes sense. The thing that was bothering me about TT Games and LEGO City was the fact that we thought that you're going to buy the cartridge and still have to download the game.
I wanted to have a podcast with you before they like corrected it, because I knew they were going to correct it, because there's no way they could put Zelda on a cartridge and have all that run without it needing an install. And then, you know, come on, it's a Lego game. How would they not have been able to do the same? So I kind of wanted to get a podcast with you just because I knew how fired up you'd be. And unfortunately, they've already corrected themselves, so you're not as fired up fired up at all. So it's kind of a little disappointing.
I was when I first read it.
Oh, I knew you were. Honest. I knew you were. So did you play any Splatoon 2 over the weekend?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think?
I liked it. I mean, I like Splatoon 1, but I do like the dualies. And I like the fact you can actually roll out of the way. I think that was really cool. They added those. I mean, honestly, it felt a lot like Splatoon 1, so I don't see a huge difference yet. But, I mean, maybe when the full game comes out with the other extra stuff they're adding on to it.
I'm hoping that, like, teams, like, come out of the box this time instead of waiting 2 months.
I hope they do a lot of things out of the box this time.
I hope to me, that's the game that needed the voice chat. So I'm really hoping they, you know, their app's ready to go by the time that game launches, because I really want to do some voice chat. Again, I want teams. I want to be able to invite you to a party. Me, you, and whoever else can party up and go play against other people. I kind of hope the single player is a little bit better than what it was.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, Nintendo has to have it out of the box ready for online like that. It would be a total dropping the ball if they don't.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Would you pick up Super Meat Boy Forever if it comes to the Switch?
I don't know. I have it on PlayStation 4. I don't know if I really need it on the Switch.
Yeah, but isn't it a new one, Super Meat Boy Forever?
Is it? I mean, again, I'd have to see what it's all about. How much are they charging for it? I don't know. I would wait.
I would say it's a new game. No, it is a new game. There you go. It's a brand new game, and they said it might come to the Switch.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's a good title. I mean, I enjoyed the first one as hard as it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, we'll see. There's stuff coming out for Switch.
Have you seen any of the cool custom-made docks they've had for the Switch?
Oh, they got some really cool custom-made docks.
Yeah, the N64 one was really neat.
Yeah, it was. That one, they had a Famicom one. I don't know. People go on the internet, they get all creative with stuff like that. I see some creative socks, too.
I seen Minecraft, the Wii U edition, got a couple of upgrades. I think they added Power Ranger skins. They got a Glide minigame. Yes, we'll still talk a little bit about the Wii U here and there.
Well, of course. I don't really know much else on the Wii U. I mean, after Zelda, I don't think there's anything else even launched for third parties. Is there? Coming out for Wii U?
Not that I know of.
So it's pretty much dead in the water at this point.
Yeah, they had a new firmware update for the Switch. I think it was just stability. I'm guessing it just like eliminated any homebrew stuff. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, stability update. That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for that big online update.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Mario Kart has to be when that happens.
Well, Mario Kart better have it where I can invite friends. I'm a little disappointed in the whole friend thing on the Switch, to be honest. It's really kind of generic. Like, okay, if I'm online and you're playing a game, I can see that you're playing a game, but I can't send you a message, I can't send you an invite, I can't do anything like that.
I really think everything right now on the Switch is pretty generic.
Yeah,
the online stuff's generic, the folder, or not even the folders, the main home screen's generic, the eShop's generic. I'm hoping that they have like stuff planned around the corner, because the eShop, if they keep releasing a lot of games, it's going to be tough to search for anything in there.
Yeah, you're right. The eShop needs an overhaul. I actually don't mind the UI, though, on the Switch. It reminds me a lot of the PlayStation 4's UI, which I really don't mind.
Yeah,
very clean,
they
very
need
simple.
Folders.
Well, yes, eventually they're definitely going to need folders.
Because that's, yeah, because once, I heard once you hit, like, 12 games, it then you get, like, a little library button that you can see anything else that's not in there.
Hmm. I haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah, so Pocket Rumble.
But I'm sure it's coming.
Pocket Rumble got delayed.
Yep.
You know, I'm interested to try it. I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'm interested to try it. I think
I would like to try it.
I think Jeff's going to get it, so I'll probably play it on his.
Well, Jeff gets everything.
That's true. That's very true. I've seen Psyonix is evaluating whether or not to bring Rocket League to the Switch. That's, to me, is like one of my top five, like, you know, third-party games that needs to be on the Switch.
That, to me, is almost a no-brainer. Rocket League on the go. I mean, what is there a debate here?
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. I will triple dip on that one.
Oh, absolutely. It just seems like, oh, well, we're deciding if we want to bring it over. Yeah, that should already have been done and decided.
Like, so one thing I want to talk about Snake Pass, and it's kind of not the game itself, but okay, so there was an issue with like some loud, like the Rumble packs on the HD Rumble were loud or something like that. I only played with the Pro Controller, so I don't know of the glitch. But I guess like they were like extra loud. So I guess Sumo Digital, the developers of the game, said they were going to patch it in. And the patch literally came out today and the game came out 2 days ago. So I just want to like talk about how quick like companies are patching stuff on the Switch. It's amazing.
Now, what was the problem? Because I bought the game at launch 2 days ago and I didn't have any problems with the rumble or anything like that.
They said that the rumble on it was obnoxiously loud.
Really?
Yeah, so it was...
Then maybe I just didn't pay attention or notice.
Did you play it on the Joy-Cons?
Yeah, because I don't have a Pro Controller.
And I guess it was on the Joy-Cons, so that's a little weird. But I guess they fixed it, and I heard they fixed some graphical stuff, too. They threw some graphical stuff in the patch. So, oh, nice. But that's crazy to me, though, that a patch comes out literally 2 days after the game launches.
Well, that's nice. Nintendo might have a better evaluation system, because used to, they have to go through the whole process and... You know,
yeah, it would be weeks crazy. Before stuff would come out, but now right. It's like now it's literally days. And I seen Shovel Knight had a update where it made it 1080p in the dock mode.
Yeah, and I haven't played Shovel Knight since they've done that, so I haven't actually seen what it looks like in 1080p. So
yeah, it's
sure
I mean
it looks great.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But I mean that's just awesome though that we're getting like patches like this really quick and they're fixing stuff. Pikmin 2 arrived on the Wii U Virtual Console today.
Very nice.
Again, we'll have a little bit of Wii U news here and there. Probably more so than, I don't know. I didn't see any 3DS really news over the past week.
I'll tell you, the releases this week for Switch on the eShop was a little weak. I mean, just Metal Slug.
Well, you had Snake Pass and Has-Been Heroes on Tuesday. So so technically you had three games, but and that's also cool that Nintendo's now allowing the games to release on Tuesdays when they release on PlayStation, so that way we can get it on the same day.
Well, that's again to me that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, but you know what's funny? Like I don't think Xbox still does that. I think they still like wait and they release it like on Wednesday or something.
Well, no, if a game comes out retail-wise, it comes on the Xbox store the same day.
But Sony doesn't. Sony will only do Tuesdays.
Well, that's what most games release on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I know, but would they wait?
No, if a game came out retail, say it came out on Friday, it would be on the PlayStation Store Friday as well.
Okay, yeah, but
it's only like the indies that come out are scheduled for like their particular release day.
But that is something new, though. That's something new to Nintendo systems.
Yeah,
because they I think before they like made you come out on Thursdays.
Which is Nintendo's like ultimate control issues for some reason.
Yeah, but they're loosening up, and
which is good.
Yes, I agree. And Jackbox Party 3 pack is coming on April 13th to the Switch.
Oh, if I didn't just buy that for PS4, I would be excited.
Oh man, but okay. So let's talk a little bit about Snake Pass and Has-Been Heroes. I'll let you start off with Has-Been Heroes because I haven't played it.
Has-Been Heroes. Let's see. Very, very frustratingly hard, but amazing. Like, I don't know. I can't put it down. It's so hard, but it keeps me going because I have this determination that I'm going to beat this level. Like, and they throw so much at you for it. It's really a strategy game because the battles are not extremely fast-paced because there's a lot of pausing, so you can actually think out strategically your next move, because you get three characters, a warrior, a rogue, and a mage. And each one has different hits. Like the warrior only hits once, the rogue hits three times, and the mage hits twice. Well, enemies, you can see their life bar, and they have a stamina bar. And their stamina bar is broken up into like three dots or four dots or two dots. So basically how it works is if your rogue hits three and you hit on a three-dot stamina of an enemy, it'll stun them so they can't move. And then you have to pull in like your warrior, the heavy hitter, to whack them so it takes a much damage off their life bar. But say it has like two stamina bars for the enemy. Your warrior hits three times, and what happens is it hits twice to knock the stamina down, but that third hit knocks them back, so they keep pursuing you. It doesn't stun them. So there's a lot of switching, and it's very, very strategic. Heavy strategy, heavy, heavy on the challenge. I still have yet to beat a boss, and I've been playing it like crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to say, it's not for everybody. I'm going to just lay it out there right there.
I will try it next time we hang out, but I'm hesitant to pay $20 for it. I'm hesitant to pay it only because I don't know if I'm going to like it. So if I got to play it and I liked it, that would be a different story.
I will say $20 was a good price, because if I paid more than $20, I might be upset, but I'm okay with $20.
Yeah.
And that's probably the max I'm okay with at that point.
So Snake Pass is a 3D puzzler that kind of looks like, I would say the game I'd closest resemble it to is Viva Pinata.
That's color wise and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it looks like mm-hmm. Viva Pinata, but it's a puzzle game. You control a snake. So it's kind of like a platforming game with no jumping, because obviously the snakes can't jump, but you can slither up things. They have like bamboo sticks that you can slither up, and you have to collect basically water droplets and coins. And then to exit each level, you have to collect some keystones. I think it's really fun to play. The controls are a little weird at first. I never played on the easy ones. I know you did. But so basically you're pressing the right trigger to move your snake. You're pressing, I believe it's the A button to lift your head. And then you press the left trigger to wrap yourself tighter around like the bamboo poles or, you know, anything that you're trying to climb.
Yeah, and then you're moving with the stick. So it's a lot, like four things all at one time.
Yeah. And it's a little confusing at first. I let my daughter play it. She was getting really confused with what to do and how to move. I need to try with her to play the easy controls, see if that'll be a little bit better for her. And now she's been playing Zelda, and she's three, and she's picked that up pretty easy. So the controls in Zelda, obviously for her, are a little bit easier than the controls in Snake Pass. She was having a little bit more of a difficult time moving the snake around, so...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I switched to easy controls just because if I want to move my character, I don't mind using the stick. And it eliminates the right trigger. So you move and control the snake, and you just need to worry about A button and the grip. I find it to be much better. Call me a noob, whatever. I don't care.
Okay, noob. But yeah, I think I'm going to try it out. I'm going to try out the easy controls, see how I like those, see which ones I like better, and then go from there. But yeah, I played two levels of it so far. The first level, I mean, the soundtrack's really good. It's from David Wise, sorry. I liked it. I didn't collect everything in the first. I missed like two coins. I got all the water drops. The second one, I got all the water drops plus all the coins, so I got everything. But it'll be a fun game to go back through and try to get all the coins, because the coins seem like they're really tough to get. Like, they'll be on the edge of a level with only like one bamboo stick, so you kind of have to like wrap yourself around as you're getting it. And it just makes it a little bit challenging. And honestly, the coins to me is the challenging part of the game, and to see if you can grab them, you know, without dying.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's if you're not into puzzle games and you're looking for like an action platformer, this is definitely not up your alley, because there's no enemies, no bad guys.
Yeah, there's no enemies.
Yeah, it's all literally just, you know, trying to collect stuff. It's just a collect-a-thon. But
the puzzles is really in the controls. I mean, that's really where it comes down to. Also, to me, it's like trying to wrap yourself around a bamboo right just to where he stays on it. Just to make sure you can get like the coins and stuff.
Well,
you know?
I'd say half controls, half character.
Yeah.
Because like it's really the shape of the character that makes it that way. So, because it's obviously it's a snake, but are you picking up Metal Slug this week? I think that might be my first one. My first Neo Geo. I want to try out a Neo Geo game to see what it looks like on there. I really do.
I mean, and it's kind of like I have the SNK arcade classics and the Metal Slug collection and stuff like that. So if I was going to pick up an SNK game or a Neo Geo game, it would be the Waku game.
Yeah, Waku. Because I've never
played that before, and that would be the one I'd like to pick up.
Yeah, for sure.
Myself, you know.
I'm just like such a Metal Slug nut that like I love Metal Slug, so I wouldn't mind picking it up just to have it, and I really want to see what one of the Neo Geo games look like on the Switch, so it would kind of kill two birds with one stone. You know, it's pretty funny. I was looking at Neo Geo game, or not Neo Geo, but Metal Slug games. You know, they made this like really horrible like third person shooter Metal Slug game for the PS2. It only came out in Japan.
I was to say, I've never seen a Metal Slug third-person shooter.
Oh my god, it is so terrible looking. Like, it looks like the graphics... It's a PS2 game, but the graphics look like as bad as, like, Ocarina of Time. Not saying that Ocarina of Time looked bad, but it looks like an N64 game, basically.
Right, and, but on PS2, it shouldn't look like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so funny, though. I was watching gameplay, and he's, like, literally shooting at two enemies. I'm like, isn't this supposed to be Metal Slug? It's like you're supposed to be like hundreds of enemies, but yeah, I was like, I'm like, no wonder. Like, I guess it tanks so bad in Japan that they decided not to bring it to America.
Well, that's something to look up.
Yeah, I'll. You know what? I'll find gameplay of it and I'll put it on the podcast so everybody can watch how amazing it is.
Yeah, amazing.
All right, so let's get to the Nintendo Fever Book Club, and we'll finish up Zelda. We won't spoil the final battle with Ganon. Oops, spoiler.
But who knew?
But we'll talk about our quest to grab the memories. We'll talk about some of the mini games and you know, some of the gear hunting and that kind of stuff. So I know, because last time we talked about the four dungeons. So I went out and I got all the memories after the dungeons. Which led me to Hyrule Castle. You want to talk a little bit about Hyrule Castle without talking about the boss of it, obviously?
Well, it's the hardest area in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you're constantly being hunted down by guardians. I mean, they have, like, turrets. It's definitely the hardest area to maneuver through. That memory was probably the hardest one to get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a nice little path up to Ganon there. By that time, you should have at least the Master Sword in, 13 hearts, 2 bars of stamina. So it makes that part makes it a little easier. You probably have upgraded your armor at that point.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't, you need to.
Yeah. So all in all, in the game, there's 4 fairy fountains, and each one of them lets you upgrade your armor, you know, +1, I guess you could say. And by the time you get the 4th one unlocked, which costs a ridiculous 10,000 rupees, you can upgrade like for a 4th time, and it makes you pretty strong though. It definitely helps you out, but yeah, 10,000 rupees is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, lots of snowballing.
Yes, snowballing is where it's at. If you don't know where that is, in the Northwest Territory, there is a tower there. Warp to the tower, and there's a cabin right below it, and that's where snowballing is. If you get good enough at it, you can get about 300 rupees every single time.
Yep.
So that, yeah, I have about 5,000 now from doing that. I just went there and rupee farmed for a little bit. Did you get any of the scales or the horns or anything from the dragons to upgrade your equipment?
I did not fight a dragon.
Well, you don't fight them.
Oh, you don't.
No,
I saw one flying around, but I didn't go near it because I just didn't want to die.
You just get no, they don't even attack you. You just need to like use your power to fly from the Ritos, and once you're up there, you can shoot them with an arrow, or you can shoot them in the face or on the scales, and depending on where you shoot them, that's what falls to the ground, and then you go to the ground and you pick it up, so you can get like a horn or like a fang or a scale, and then you use that to upgrade your armor.
No kidding.
Yep. Did you do any of the labyrinths?
I attempted to get to one, but that was earlier on in the game, and I never got a chance to go back to it.
Okay, so I went through and I beat all the 3 labyrinths. If you don't know what the labyrinths are, let me start there. They're like mazes, and you have to figure out how to basically get through the maze and get to the shrine in each maze. Once you get to the shrine, it's not like a normal shrine where there's like a puzzle in it. It's literally just a treasure box, and then you get the orb. The shrine itself is really the labyrinth. But yeah, so you that's how you get the barbarian armor, if you're curious, and that ups your attack. Nice. So if you get all three pieces of it, it ups your attack by three. Which is pretty ridiculous, yeah. If you're about to go fight like a Hynix or a Lynel, I would definitely be wearing that armor. Not only does it up your attack, it's actually pretty strong too for your defense.
I gotta say, like, if you go online, you see a lot of like secrets and stuff that you unlockables and stuff in the game. Nintendo kind of threw everything in there.
Oh yeah, I'm currently shrine farming and I'm armor farming right now. Like that's really what I'm doing. I'm just going through, I'm getting all the shrines. So I'm doing all the shrine quests and everything, and then I'm going around just like collecting all the armor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the amiibos, like I unlocked the complete Ocarina of Time set, which I thought was pretty awesome. And you can get the Dark Link set from the, I can't remember his name right now, but from that little imp guy.
Yeah, he sells rare armor and stuff, but you have to use monster parts to get it.
Right.
Yeah, you can get Dark Link. You can get like a skeleton outfit too, which is kind of cool looking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then you can get like monster outfits as well. So like if you get like the Bobakin one, and then you can like sneak up on them because they think that you're one of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they have other ones too. And you know what's even crazy is that how like unique every enemy is. I guess you can wear like a Lynel one, and if you get close enough to the Lynel, he'll like know that you're not a Lynel, like because he's smart enough, like where the other enemies are dumb.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Which is pretty funny. But yeah, I mean they really thought of everything. I mean, and there's just so much to that game. Like it's kind of sad that this will be the last week that we talk about it in the book club. But I mean, next we'll have a vote out there for next week. I'm not sure what it's going to be right now. What games we're having there. I'm guessing it's going to be between Snipperclips, Bomberman, and Snake Pass. I mean, does that sound reasonable?
Sounds fine with me, so.
Okay. I would say Has-Been Heroes, but I don't know if I want to buy it to, and you know, everyone listening will probably be a jerk and go out and vote for it, so I have to buy it. So,
I don't know. It's very, very challenging.
That's not even what scares me. It's just like the part that scares me about it is I just don't know if I'll like it.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. I could definitely see that.
So, after you beat Ganon, did you go back to the game at all afterwards?
No, I retired it for a little bit.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm kind of just, like, farming stuff, because I feel like I can go beat Ganon at any time I want to. I just feel like if I do, I'm not going to play it.
Right. Which I can understand.
Yeah, so I'm kind of just doing that, trying to get all the side quests out of the way. Yeah, after I get all the armors that I want to get, the armor sets I want to get, and, you know, I get all the shrines. The only thing I probably won't collect 100%, like, through this playthrough is probably the Korok seeds. I don't know if
900.
I really...
900.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about that is I think after you pass, like, 450, they don't even do anything for you.
Really?
Yeah, because you could only upgrade your slots, like, so much.
Well, here's my thing, too. There's 900 seeds out there. Like, how do I know where to even begin? I mean, you would think they'd be everywhere, being 900, but they're really not.
Oh,
you know?
but they are. there's stuff that I found out like that I didn't even know. Like, there's one where you have to push a boulder between two trees.
Oh, I did that one.
Yeah. See, like, yeah. I didn't even, ridiculous. Like, how am I supposed to know that? And then, like,
you know what? I just saw the two trees. And I was like, I wonder what happened if I pushed a boulder between them. And then one popped up, and I was like, are you kidding?
I mean, there's also ones, like, there's one on the bridge for Lake Hylia. There's just, like, a balloon hanging out. Like, that if you shoot the balloon, you get one.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're literally everywhere. And, like, there's no really instructions on how to get them. So you kind of just have to, like, I guess, just guess on how to get them.
Speaking of instructions, now that you bring that up, I do find it very funny that all these Switch games don't come with any kind of instruction manual, and they don't even come with, like, digital instruction manuals.
Yeah, because we don't need no hand-holding.
I mean, I understand that, but it is nice sometimes in a game if you're looking up, like, if you just want to find out some information, not have to go, like, online and research it.
I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed the digital manuals like that were on the Wii and the Wii U.
Yeah, I don't mind a digital manual.
Like those a lot better than even the manual, like the physical ones.
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't mind if it's digital, you know, save the money on paper, whatever, you know. But at least have some kind of manual for, so we can look it over if we need to. Because I had a few questions about Has-Been Heroes, and I couldn't find them.
You can find them online.
The yeah, right.
Yeah, just go online, man. You'll find them there.
Absolutely.
All right. I think that'll wrap up this week's episode. Again, be on the lookout for our vote for next month's Nintendo Game Club or Nintendo Fever Game Club game. We'll also probably next week, you'll have Lego City by then, right?
Yeah, on the 4th.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll talk about my Wii U experience. I'm not rebuying it. I beat it on the Wii U. So we could definitely still have a conversation about it.
Which you're not going to go co-op? Not going to go co-op?
No, I'm not going co-op. But, yeah, so we'll be able to talk about that. Hopefully we have some other games next week. I might or might not purchase the Metal Slug. So we'll talk about that next week as well. And, yeah, until then, I'm Anthony.
I'm Ryan. And don't forget, get your game on.